It's another episode of Black Girls Laughing.
Hey, we're here. We're doing it again. We're back and better than ever.
Okay. That was a choice. I like it. But yeah, we're consistent bitches up here just being podcasters. We're just podcasters. Getting featured in shit and stuff.
Hair flip. Hair flip.
Black girls be podcasting and we are a part of them.
Hey. Pop of color for y'all.
Woop, 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 woop. Yeah, so we're shout out to... Oh, shit, I don't know their name.
Life According to Her.
Life According to Her. Thank you. Bee's ready.
I am.
For featuring us amongst another 100 awesome Black girl podcasts. The majority of them I had no idea existed. Like, I knew a lot of the big ones in that list, but then there were some ones I was like, what? This? Who? There's 100? 100 of these damn things? Damn. Like, I guess we weren't the only ones with the same idea last year.
I mean, if anything, I'm like, how do we talk to y'all? Like, can we have, like, everyone call in and just record one giant podcast?
Right? Can we all work together? Can we do, like, a joint live show with some folks? Like, this is... some time to start some collaboration, folks. Let's be on each other's podcasts. I would love to introduce our audience to your audience and vice versa.
Yeah. So yeah. Let's get chatting, all of y'all that are listed on that. I listened to some of the ones like you that you were like, what? This exists? I was like, wait, let me go listen real quick. And I've been... creeping on your guys' stuff or liking your pages or signing up for your newsletter or following you on Twitter, you know, checking all of you out.
Oh, yeah. I've been having the Black Girls Laughing Twitter has been following a bunch of new folks recently. I'm just like, who are you? Let's be friends.
Follow.
Hey.
So besides that awesome feature, what else is new in your week? How was your week?
My week was cool. My week was chill. I feel like I'm just giving updates every week of like me doing the shit I should be doing and asking for like applause for it. But but it's still a big deal to me. Like, so I finally bought car insurance and I got my car registered underneath my name, and now it's titled underneath my name, and, like, did all that shit. And that was easier than I thought it was going to be. I started driving for the first time in, like, 6 years, and that was surreal. When you haven't been driving for a while, it's scary. I'm just waiting to get my license so I can just, like, get comfortable driving without having Jordan in the car, because I get, like, so freaked out because I'm, like, I'm still trying to get, like, used to driving and having another person there, even though he's not judging me and he's, like, totally, like, understanding of, like, how freaked out that I am because he was equally freaked out when we moved here and it was, like, his first time driving a lot for a number of years. But it still would be nice to just be like, okay, let me just like hop in the car and like get through all these jitters alone. And then you can hop in the car with me again. But like legally, I can't do that until I get my license.
Soon. So, very soon.
Yeah. Soon. Monday, I will be scheduling my drive in 2 weeks. Woo. And then I will just be a boring adult with...
driver's license.
The right papers and shit.
So. Yeah. Driver's license and insurance. Adulting on a next level.
Yeah. Buying insurance was so easy.
Yeah.
And wasn't that, like, I was ready for it to be like $1 billion and be like really difficult.
I doubt it is out there.
No, Flo was just like, you want this? Here you go.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
Yeah, everyone said car insurance in Philadelphia is expensive, too. And I remember when I was looking, because I was thinking about getting a car. I found it for like $90 a month, and it was full coverage. So I was like, that's nice. Not terrible. I don't know what you guys are they talking like to, about.
They like to scare city folk because they like to think, they like to be like, oh, if you don't live in like a lily white neighborhood, your insurance premiums are going to go up or whatever. And it's like, no, that's not true. That's not true. That's just your racism coming through. So step back, bitch. How was your week?
It was good. I was actually pretty busy this week. Talking to people. I had an interview this week. I'm back in the gym. I have really... Some of the things I want to say is going to be part of the check it, so I'm going to save that for later. But I was social this weekend with like people other than like my immediate circle of people that I'm usually social with. So that was interesting and exhausting, but fun. And I'm glad I did it. I almost bailed, but my friend's dog convinced me to go because he's so cute. His name is Nacho and he's a pit bull and he's so needy and like adorable. So I was like, well, I have to go. I have to see Nacho. And I'm glad I went, and branched out more. You know, me always talking about something. There are a couple things that I let like fall apart this week that I think if I'm going to try and keep myself as busy as I was this past week, that I need to get back to like scheduling out my life better. Which is also mm-hmm. something that I really need to implement because I'm really like, I don't like not having a job, but I'm really liking this idea of not having a traditional 9-to-5. Like, I've been talking about it, but now that I've like completely broken away from it, I'm like, can I go back to that? I don't know. Like, do I want to right now? I don't know.
No, don't have a fuck 9-to-5s. Like, I've been so jealous of Jordan because he's been having a lot of opportunities pop up with him. Mainly because, you know, I'm a boss and I've been helping him out. And I know how to, and I recognize all of the great skills that he has. So I'm like been promoting the fuck out of him at my job and like with anyone else that I know that could like hook him up. And so I'm just like so jealous. I'm like, oh man, you are about to live that like freelancer lifestyle that I've always dreamed of. But it's all right. It's not in the cards for me to be a freelancer right now. I have to learn from these white women that have their own businesses really quickly. And then I can have my own.
Yeah, so I feel like I've got some fun things that I will be able to share hopefully with the next show coming up the pipeline.
All right.
Yeah, so I'll be excited to share that with you guys if and when it happens.
Yay! Well, I can't wait. Yeah. Rooting for you.
Thanks.
So let's just get into the shit. Let's do it, John.
Let's do it up. All right. So first, do you want to... Well,
yeah, I'll go first. So this past week, on March 9th, we marked the 20th anniversary of Notorious B.I.G. or Christopher Wallace's passing. He was shot in a drive-by shooting in L.A. You know, it was in the height of that East Coast, West Coast rap feud. And I just wanted to like, and I was watching Fresh Off the Boat. And I love that show. And the little boy, Eddie, is in love with Tupac and Biggie, and he was like going through this depression over the death of Tupac, and then like a month later the death of Biggie happened and he went into like even a deeper spiral in the show. And I don't know, it just made me think about like how did that affect us as young people So, like, go back in the way back time machine when I was 9, when this went down. Like, what do you remember? So that's like the question I have for you, B. And I'll answer it myself, too. And then, like, how has the rap game changed because of that feud? And are we on the cusp of that coming back? Because, like, I see these things between, like, with, like, shit like Love and Hip Hop, and then, like, a lot of rappers just trying to stay relevant because there's just so many people in the field. And, like, and then, like, looking at, you know, what's been happening with, like, Nicki and Remy and, you know, fucking Soulja Boy supposed to be fighting Chris Brown or, like, all that other nonsense. Like, what does it look like? Like, how has that affected where we are today? It's sort of, like, my big question. So, if you have any thoughts, you want to start?
All I can think of right now, like, when you talk about that, is I remember watching, like, MTV and hearing about Biggie and Tupac being shot. And I don't... I mean, I listened to them. I have an uncle that's, like, young. So when I was that age, he was, like, a teenager, and that's what he was listening to. So, like, that's what I was listening to because he was super cool. But I didn't know anything. I didn't know, like, how poetic Tupac actually is. I had no, like, idea until I was older, and I was like, wait, oh my God, like, almost envious of, like, anyone that was a teenager at that time or, like, an adult at that time that could, like, hear those lyrics and recognize how it resonates so much with so many people. I mean, I'm really glad that I have it now and I can listen to it now, but I'm like, wow, like, that was at the height of, like, all I can think of is Puff Daddy now and, like, Diddy. And, like, he's still, like, trying to be a rapper. But he was, like,
everything.
The dude. Yeah. And it's so weird to see how all of that has changed. As far as, like, that feud coming back between, like, I don't know, East Coast, West Coast, whatever, or, like, people doing crazy shit to be relevant. I hope it doesn't escalate to that point again. Jeez. Yeah, I think it's all gotten too shallow to really, truly get to that point. And if it does, it's just, like, someone was gonna do some crazy shit like that anyway. So then, like, the hype of social media and everything was just kind of, like, it's going to get to a boiling point, I guess.
I mean, just, like, imagine what the feud would have been like in that social, in a social media context. Like, what? And then I think about, like, back then, we were still, like, I feel like rappers from that era and, like, a little bit forward still actually came from, like, a hard background and had, like, a real story to tell. So, like, when you compare Biggie and Tupac to, like, Drake, like, there is, like, no comparison. Like, oh, you were a child star and now you're a rapper. That's cute. But, like, and, like, you think about everyone else that sort of, like, they have taken on personas of actual gangsters, but they don't have any real street cred, quote unquote, to back up any of their bars. You know, they have ghostwriters that might have lived that life, but they don't, but they are the showman and they've never lived that. And so then when they try to act hard and act like something's gonna go down, it's weird. And but then it's also weird when, like, someone like Drake can beat out Meek Mill, who actually has more credibility behind his persona as an artist. than Drake does, because he's, you know, he's Jimmy in the wheelchair.
Wheelchair and Jimmy!
And he'll always be that, you know? He's from Canada. I don't know. Teach me, the Canadians that listen to the show, teach me about, like, you know, hood life in Canada. But I don't know it. I just assume that it's just Moose and Degrassi. I mean, and Degrassi's hood is shit, but... They fucking stabbing kids and parking lots and stuff. But that's also fictional. So let me know what the real stuff is, because I think that you guys are Trailer Park Boys, because I used to watch that show.
Oh, God.
and that's the only hood shit. And that is some real hood shit. Like, that is capital H, capital S, hood shit right there. I don't even understand it, but it's uncomfortable for me to watch Trailer Park Boys. But anyways, that's neither hither or thither. But anyways, it's been 20 years. It's crazy that it's been 20 years. I feel so freaking old that it has been 20 years. Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
And it's crazy. Like, back at that point, my dad was working with, a filmmaker and making like a documentary and a web presence around fallen hip hop stars, because there's so many of them. And that it was such a part of the time, was that you had to die for your star to actually shine and for it to even be bigger, because of the deaths of Biggie and Tupac, because they were already shining stars, then were slain, and their stars, like, they have been cemented as hip hop royalty forever. And I wonder if they were to have lived past 1997, would we still see them in that way? Or would it just be, you know, that it would just been like a little blip in history of this time of Biggie and Tupac? And I've seen people question that. I think it's okay to question greatness a little bit. And I think that they are great. If you listen and you recognize how those two, like, especially Biggie only had two albums. And they're the most fire albums. Like, I still listen to these albums still today. People, you hear, make money, and then you're ready to dance. You know, like, your life changed. Like, there's just, you know, people are using the same samples, are still biting off of that work left and right. But I do question, would they still, like, who they would have become? Like, who would Tupac and Biggie be in this, you know, post Trayvon, post Mike Brown world? What would be their stance? What music would they be making? Or would they just be hiding? The way that some of our criticisms with, like, Jay-Z and the like, and not being political enough at times. So yeah, that's my big question. We're always gonna be like, that's all, what is what we'll have to question forever. But, like, Tupac's mother and family is, like, rooted in the Black Panther movement. So, like, looking at Black Lives Matter, the Black Panther movement, like, who he is, if he was still alive, how great he could be. And then I question if... And then I start thinking about, like, the CIA and, like, did they kill him and shit like that. And then I get, like, my tinfoil hat on, and I'm just, like, conspiracy theorist. But I am not Donald Trump, so I'm not going to go down that line. So I'm going to pass it to you, B. What is one of your Johns?
So one of my Johns, I would like to appropriately use the hashtag she persisted right now for our girl Peaches Monroe.
Yes, take it.
She is not out here to play games anymore. I mean, we've been talking about how she started a GoFundMe campaign to raise money for a new cosmetic line she wants to launch. And she is persisting. She is seeking trademark for yes. On Fleek. And I mean, I sat there for a little bit and even had a friend share an article with me the other day about the Cash Me Outside girl and like the inherent problematic anti-blackness that is within this caricature that she is portraying and playing, which like, duh. And he read the article and he's like, I'm sure you're going to read it and be like, well, yeah. Because he's like, I even read it and was like, well, yeah, of course. That's why the only reason why Cash Me Outside is cool coming out of her mouth is because she's white.
I get mad at every black person that says Cash Me Outside. Now I'm like, shut up. Just don't help that.
No. And I looked up like how much money she's making, and she makes what, $30,000 from an appearance. That's not including if she goes abroad. She was booked for a festival, a music festival. I don't know which one. It didn't say which one. But she's booked for a music festival where she's going to make like over triple what she makes for like an appearance. So this girl, like, said something that it's not the first time I've ever heard someone say that. Saying something that's inherently African-American vernacular, but she's white, so now she can make a ton of money off of it. While Peaches Monroe said on Fleek.
Originated on Fleek.
Yeah.
Not just stole on Fleek.
And wants to do essentially what this white girl could do without anyone even like offering an idea, or like she was like, oh, I said this thing, I recognize that I'm viral, I'm gonna make something out of it. No, people were just handing it to her, and now Peaches Monroe is taking something she did, saying, here's not just me making appearances, but here's me actually like fulfilling a dream and like doing something where you have an opportunity to buy my products or buy something I created, because clearly I've shown you via looking at my face, seeing my video, that I know what I'm talking about when it comes to at least your eyebrows. And people want to get mad because she's black. And all of y'all saying people shouldn't be paid for their words. What the hell do you think marketing and advertising people are paid for? Their words.
I'm paid for it every month.
So, like, I'm here for Peaches. I don't have a lot of money, but I'm going to try and give, like, $10 at least towards her GoFundMe. And, I mean, we've talked about this 3 times now, y'all, so I hope you listen and also give Peaches money.
Yes, if you said on Fleek,
you owe her.
In a tweet, in a Facebook, and you got a number of likes or retweets, then you owe her, drop her $10.
If you said it on Snapchat, if you have gotten ready to go out and you looked at your friends and you said, eyebrows on Fleek, if you just got your eyebrows threaded and you put in your Instagram story that you did and you use on Fleek, you need to give her at least $10.
If you're an eyebrow esthetician and you have used that in your social media campaign trying to get some clients and it worked, you owe Peaches some money. Just give her $10. The price of one eyebrow threading. Give it to her.
Yep. At the least. So that is my first John.
Okay. Bringing it back to hip hop, because you know me, I'm world star hip hop connoisseur.
Right.
That's me. So Nikki tried to have some bars back at Remy. So she dropped No Frauds featuring Drake and Lil Wayne, and it's whack. And that's about it. That's all I have. All right, that's my job.
I think the funniest part of this whole thing was I saw this article that was like, A-star celebrities clearly supporting Nicki Minaj by posting videos on Instagram of them singing her song. So she did like a compilation of all of the people that posted themselves singing her song, and it was Selena Gomez,
ew,
Gina and Aiko.
Who?
Yeah. She's in that song Post to Be with Omarion.
Oh yeah, my fave.
Uh-huh. Who, like, some girl from Pretty Little Liars, Tinashe, who I still, like, don't understand why she's such a big damn deal to everyone, but...
Who the hell's Tinashe?
Exactly. She was featured on a song with Britney Spears, and to be honest, the only reason why I knew who she was because K-pop celebrities are obsessed with her. So I was unaware that she was, like, an actual person trying to sing and become, like, a American pop star. Because I only knew her from, like, the K-pop world. So then when I found out she was, like, singing with Britney Spears and, like, people love her, I was like, wait, what? Who is this girl? And I'm still like, who is this girl? But, yeah, so Nicki Minaj put this compilation together, and I'm like, that's your A-list team of supporters?
The D-list?
Selena Gomez and...
And friends.
And Pretty Little Liars. That's it? Yeah, so Nikki lost. She'll never be able to come back from that. That's an L that will be on her record until she...
It's on her permanent record. It will always be on her record.
Yeah, and she can't get it expunged. There's no probationary period. Mm-hmm. There's no fine that she can pay to get it off. It's there. So, I'm also moving on because we got greatness coming to us in the form of Yara Shahidi and Michelle Obama. So we've talked about, Brittany has talked about Yara specifically within like the last few episodes.
Yeah, she was one of my, like, my first roar of 2017.
Yeah. So, I mean, she's been killing the game, but I feel like she's, like, on this awesome roll right now, which, that she's someone that we need, that young, like, I want every young girl to, like, see doing all the amazing things she's doing. But this girl got a college letter of recommendation from Michelle Obama. Like, I don't know where she's applying to. I'm sure it's an amazing, prestigious, some Ivy League schools, some HBCUs, but to get a letter of recommendation from Michelle Obama is like, what? It's like the most black girl magic that you can get in a college application. I know she wants her major to be African American Studies and Sociology. I mean, she's made herself very clear in her alignment with feminism, specifically black women, obviously, as a black woman. And I know that she's applying to Harvard as one of the schools, obviously. But I'm really excited to see if that's where she ends up or if she ends up somewhere else. But I just thought it was really cool that this young girl already has had such an impact on all of us, on Michelle Obama, to the point that she wrote a letter of recommendation for her. That's so cool.
Michelle Obama, the Queen of America.
Truly.
You got into any college. It's over. Pick one, boo. You got one. I mean, you're already a celebrity, so you just, like, can pick one anyways, but still. Like,
close your eyes and girl, pick.
Just, like, for real.
You mean you mighty mo.
And I am ready for her A Different World, like, show.
Yes.
Yes. I wonder what type of school she's going to go to. I kind of want her to go to a small liberal art school, like, you know, non-HBCU school, but be surrounded by the Black students, the students of color that go to those places for higher education, but are having to deal with the white nonsense of going to one of those schools and being brown. Because, like, that would be my story, and I would love to finally see it. Like, there's not enough of, like, they don't have enough of that.
Yeah. So we'll see. We shall see. We will be watching, and I'm sure we will be reporting back.
Oh, yes.
All right. That's the John.
Woot. Okay, so I have a You Better Work, but it's not going to be a You Better Work. I love to change my segment into something else every other week. And so this week, I feel like we've done this, like, in the one other time in the first season of Black Girls Laughing. But this week, my segment is called This Week in White Woman Nonsense.
We should just maybe add it permanently. We've done this multiple times.
Yeah. So, I don't know about you, B, but my Facebook timeline has been full of white girls this week. Because, you know, it was Women's International Women's Day. And I had a lot of white girls complaining about International Women's Day. Not in that, like, I'm a humanist, like, type of way, but sort of like in this, well, I had a good time at the Women's March, and I don't know if I want to do another thing for women right now. I thought I could do something for, like, Black Lives Matter or something. And, like, it was, like, more like a critique of the Day Without a Woman thing. And I'm like, it's still, like, International Women's Day has been around for forever. It's for all of us, and you could still care about women and it not only be about white women. And I think that they were all missing the point that International Women's Day is not International White Women's Day. And, like, and that you could talk about trans women and black women's issues on that day.
No.
And you could center that, and that could be fine.
No.
And, like, and you could still be participating in International Women's Day, and to just not participate in the day and be like, I want to talk about black women. Like, you can. No one's stopping you, bitch. Like, it's still International Women's Day, and guess what? Black women are fucking women. Simple. But the other thing, I'm sorry, I went into, like, anxiety corner.
Yeah, level you did.
Of angst right there. Anyways, taking it back. So the other thing that's been down here is that a statue was erected on International Women's Day of this little girl on Wall Street, staring down the Bull of Wall Street. And the white ladies loved it. I have never seen more white women share a picture of a little white girl statue in my life. It has been put around. I've seen multiple articles about it. But then I was like, where the fuck did this statue come from? who made this statue that everyone loves so goddamn much? So, some people did a little research, and I'm going to share some of their research. So, this statue called the Fearless Girl was created by an advertisement firm called McCain in New York, whose leadership team has 11 people on it, and only 3 of them are women. So they have 27% of their women, of their leadership is women. The reason behind this statue is to say that corporate America should have 50% women on their boards. Yeah, that makes fucking sense. There's, you know, we're 51% of the damn planet. We should be 50% of leadership in corporate America. And so this was to raise attention about that. But if you look at their organization, they don't do that. They don't practice what they preach. You know, they are one of the largest asset managers in the world. They're a part of SSGA, a division of State Street, which is, you know, I don't know, rich people, you know, trading money. I don't know what they do. It's corporate America. I don't really know what they do in corporate America. They just take everyone's money. They control $2.5 trillion in assets. Sit like from like 2014, like that is crazy. But they only have, between their different departments, they have on average 20% of their leadership is women. So they paid this artist to create this piece of work, but they don't practice what they preach. They put this out to get this fanfare. So like right on the piece of, on the art, there is a plaque that honors the organizations that paid for it. So when you're sharing out this Fearless Girl, you are promoting capitalism. And what they could really fucking do for women, if they're really going to try to go do something for women on International Women's Day, they could go hire some women. They could go pay them the same as the men that work with the women that work in their organization. They could, you know, they could do that. They could promote women in education. They could promote equal pay or maternity leave or any of the issues that center around work and corporate America and women's rights. But they're not doing that. They put out a bronze little girl to be outside for all of us to go take our little photo ops with, and now we can make a petition to keep it there forever. And we'll get nothing. We just have this little token outside without any real tangible change. And there's this other... So some bro decided that he wanted to hump this statue for laughs, which is disgusting. It's a damn little girl. It's not cute. It's nasty. That's pedophilia. That's just nasty. Just don't do that. But then I've seen so many people share that this image of the man humping the statue is the reason why we need feminism. How about the fact that women are not equal in our society is the reason why we need feminism?
No. Absolutely not.
I'm sorry, like, can we pick the right battle here?
No. Just like if Hillary Clinton would have won, we wouldn't have needed any of those protests or marches or anything. Duh.
It's just like, stop sharing this. Stop it. I think that it's a great statue. It's a great image. It's interesting. But you know what? I would rather go and see the pictures of actual black women with no arms in little sundresses standing in front of a wall of armed police officers. Those are the powerful images that need to be in permanent display across the United States. Permanent display on Wall Street. Let's talk about, let's not forget about the fact that on Wall Street they were selling slaves. Let's talk about keeping the slave block that is on display on Wall Street. And the multiple slave blocks that are all over New York City. And to commemorate how the North and all you, and even though so many liberals don't like to believe that the North had anything to do with slavery, how all of America is complicit in the devaluing of black bodies, which also includes black female bodies, which also includes women, which is a part of this same narrative. And let's not forget that all of this stuff works in tandem with each other. Sexism and racism work hand in hand to make this wonderful country that we live in. But anyways, that was just the thing that was bothering me so much. So much this week. And I just had to talk about it.
Y'all got a lesson in corporate America and white feminism, which work hand in hand. Capitalism and white feminism.
Oh my gosh. I mean, you can just make these fake ads to make you feel good. And this is like, and these white girls will come in and be like, yay, thank you, corporate America, for throwing us the tiniest of inconsequential bones by putting up a statue. Thank you. Don't worry about hiring my sisters. No. Just put the statue and make it permanent.
I wore a pink hat. Come on. That means that I am for equality. Susan.
Those damn pussy hats. I can't stand them.
I hate those. I'm done. You better work. You better know. You better do your research.
Or this week in white woman nonsense. God damn you guys.
We should throw around the idea of adding that as a permanent segment.
A featured segment. You know, every couple of weeks, we find some bullshit that's been really getting stuck in our craw.
All right. So, moving on to a check it. Because we got one of those this week, too. Woohoo! I've been doing pretty good with my check-ins. Pretty good. Pretty good.
We are consistent. You are consistent. Yay. Go.
Yay. So this week, my check-in was trying to think of how to, like, put it in our show notes, put it in our spreadsheet that we, Brittany and I, used to, like, organize. And all I could type in was, stop checking in with your parents. This doesn't mean don't call your mom and dad, don't tell them how you're doing, check in and see if they're healthy, let them check in to see if you're healthy, etc. But, seeking their approval for absolutely everything. I was talking to Brittany before we started recording, and I've been thinking a lot about it. I'm stressed about not having a job, but I do like the idea of not attaching myself to a formal 9-to-5 opportunity right now. I like the flexibility of what freelancing could bring me, or working as a contracted employee could bring me right now. And I've been thinking a lot about it and like how it would give me a chance to do the multiple things I want to do without being stuck in one thing. So if I have this freelancing job here and this freelancing job here, I could maybe be doing social media there, but doing events here. And really, maybe, you know, this is the chance for me to like separate those the things that I'm good at and, like, really zone in on the one with one gig and then the other with the other gig and then figure out what I really want to do or how can I marry everything that I do. Like, am I still looking for something that marries all of those things? Or maybe did I think I only like this one thing because I'm good at it, but it's not actually what I want to do. Anyway, I'm going on a tangent, but I was also talking to my mom about this and kept like starting each sentence with like, I figure, like, you and my dad won't get it, that, like, there was a position that I could have applied for that people had pointed out that I had experience in, but it's not what I want. Like, when I look at my life in 5 years, what I want to be doing, that position is not going to be getting me where I want to be. So just because I like maybe the people that I would work with or the organization that I would work for, is it worth it for me to be in 6 months, remember that this isn't actually going to put me in the direction that I want to go in and it's not anything I actually want to be doing and suddenly I'm miserable? Or do I hustle harder, take on a bunch of freelancing jobs or not traditional salary with benefits positions and, you know, start actually being my own business, maybe within other organizations, but also like as myself. And I mean, that's something we've talked about multiple times. Brittany has shared endless You Better Works about working for yourself. And I mean, I just realized when I was talking to my mom about it, I kept being like, you probably think I'm crazy and I know this isn't like what you're used to or like what I normally do or the usual thing. And then her response was, I think you should just do what you think is good for you, which in actuality, my mother would obviously have that kind of response. That's the kind of relationship we have. But then I was like, who cares? Like, if I'm legally paying my bills, like, who cares what my parents think? I'm not out here, like, taking my clothes off. And even if I was, it's my body.
Ain't nothing wrong with
and
that.
It's yeah. My bills. So if that's what I decided to do, I would be surprised by myself. But hey, money is money and a job is a job. And so my check it is like, if you ever find yourself in a position, you're an adult. Like, I'm assuming most people that listen to this are adults living on their own or paying their own bills. Like, I know it's like ingrained in us to like do things our parents want. I mean, we have people going to 4 years of an education or more simply because their parents want them to be XYZ. But you got to come to a point where you're not checking in with them on everything. And I hope that you get to that point sooner rather than later. So you recognize that the only validation you need to seek is yourself. All you really need is you to validate you. Or if you need someone who isn't your parent to say, good job, like, let me know. I will let you know that you're doing a good job, because if you're waking up every day and you do something as simple as maybe just take a shower and that's all you can accomplish that day, good job. So, yeah. Stop checking in with your parents for everything. If they're not paying your bills or giving you a roof over your head, what is their opinion truly? Does their opinion pay your bills? No? Okay, then. That's a check it. Yeah.
We're back to do our new sort of favorite segment, the Anxiety Corner. I don't know. I had a lot of issues this week with the Anxiety Corner, and I even like tweeted it out. I was like, there's just too much, and there's always too much. And I feel, and we're talking about, I feel like it's always the same bullshit. And yeah, so my biggest question right now is like, is this going to help us? Does this help? It helped me to get it out. Does it help y'all to hear it out? I was like, let us know about what are your thoughts on Anxiety Corner. I just want to put that little message, that little PSA before we start it. Because, like, I just want to make sure that we're making, like, we've condensed our Trump talk to this, and I think it's very smart of us to do it in this way. But is it too much time still? Because we're doing it every week, and it I don't know, it kind of like compounds how fucked up it is, because we're putting it only in like a little 2-minute spurt of the nonsense. I don't know. That's just like my anxiety about Anxiety Corner.
Yeah, let us know. I mean, I hope that the idea behind it was that, I mean, obviously you're going to freak out about anything you read whenever you read it or whenever it happens. But maybe, you know, it makes you look at the practices you're taking in your everyday life and like, maybe you shouldn't read like 12 articles in a row and freak out for the rest of the day. Maybe you should only let yourself have a certain time a day where you get caught up on the news, you lose your shit, and then hopefully you do something productive in terms of resisting, or you do something productive in terms of taking care of yourself. Or I've seen a lot of people where they have decided that they want to have these conversations, but they will not have them in their own home. So, like, if you want to talk about this, we can go get coffee. We can go to dinner. We can go walk around and have a conversation. But when I come home, I'm not talking about it. I'm not talking about it within the walls of my bedroom. I'm not talking about it within the walls of my apartment. And, I mean... as an act of self-preservation and self-care, I think that is great. That's kind of what I've been doing. So if I'm home most of the day, I'm relatively clueless and I don't look at anything until I'm in a coffee shop working and I'm winding down from work, or I want to catch up, or I'm working on show notes, or I'm working on something for the show and then I'm catching up. But I'm not clicking on that when I'm in my apartment. I'm not doing it. So,
yeah, it's sort of like that, the idea of having a diet about your media intake.
Yes.
Like, you want to have, you don't want to be taking in garbage all the time. And that, you know, and if potato chips is the garbage that you put into your mouth, you know, watching MSNBC or reading the crazy Twitter nonsense that is the deplorables might be really bad for you. And you might want to keep that to a minimum. I haven't watched MSNBC today, and that's a huge deal for me. Because I'm trying to keep a low nonsense diet today. Because Sunday is for me, not for the bullshit.
See, there you go.
So are we doing this?
So we're doing this. I guess I can preface this Anxiety Corner with we're both freaking out about the same thing.
Okay. Great. Alrighty.
Timer is being set. 2 minutes. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. I'm hitting now.
So the Republicans want us all to die because they introduced GOP care or Trump care, and it's just a hot, it's just hot garbage. It's just, you know, all those death camps that they were talking about when they talked about the ACA and when we were trying to get the American, the Affordable Care Act passed. This is actually it. I mean, there's not actual death panels written into this, but if 20 million people are going to lose coverage, and if they, if those 20 million people actually have life-threatening illnesses that need actual medical attention, and then they don't have insurance, and then they say, I won't go to the doctor, you know what that means? They're going to die. And whatever this nonsense, this is just so much punishment on the poor. It's disgusting. And I think about how, thankfully, I have an employer that I get my insurance through, and that's all cute and fun and all. But even with this going through, that's in danger because there will not be an employee mandate for them to provide health care anymore. And then as more and more young people get out of the system because they don't have a mandate saying that they have to be a part of insurance, you're just going to have a lot of sick people that are going to be too expensive to care for in the insurance pool. And then what's going to end up happening? They're going to die because they're not going to be able to afford their insurance. They're not going to have insurance. The people that are the most vulnerable will be at risk. All right, let me set you up for your 2 minutes of pain. Anxiety.
2 minutes of pain.
All right. You ready, girl?
I'm ready.
And go.
So I am also freaking out about Trump care, but I'm also laughing, which is you like hit a point of just you don't know what to do. You throw your hands up and you laugh at the simple fact that the people that are going to be hit really, really hard with this new health care are the lower income, older voters in rural parts of the country that voted for him. Just to give you some numbers, under this bill, 60-year-olds with annual incomes of $30,000, particularly in rural areas where healthcare costs are higher and Obama subsidies are greater, will be hit the hardest by this new bill. That's nearly 1,500 counties nationwide. So that type of person stands to lose about $6,000 a year in federal insurance subsidies. So all of you that are, you know, fiscally conservative, are tired of the big rich man taking all of your money, will continue to have your money taken from you at higher rates, even faster. Also, the fact that it's cheaper for you if everyone, say, in your state actually had health insurance, because then you wouldn't have to pony up dough with your taxes to be able to balance out the fact that people are going and seeking care when they don't have health insurance. But God forbid anyone look up facts or read a book or learn or know anything, because who cares? Donald Trump speaks what's on his mind, which is screwing you all over. That's what has been on his mind. He cannot wait to take your money from you like the chumps you are.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep, yep, yep. And yep, 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 yep again. Yeah.
Yeah?
I mean, I want to laugh at them, but it's just so sad.
Yep. As you said, you let your
You let your racism screw you. It played you. You played yourself. Like Q in fucking, what's his nuts? You played yourself.
DJ Khaled.
Yeah, DJ Khaled. Like, where, like, he needs to just go into all of their homes and say, and like take their insurance and say, you played yourself. Like, it's so sad. It is so sad. Let's keep on trying to stack our coins so we don't have to be screwed.
Yes. Let's get this money.
We are very much in this a country that only cares about money. So I gotta go make money a little bit, a little bit, so I can just be okay. All right. Anxiety corner out.
Out. Done. We're over it. We're moving on to the throwback jam.
Oh my God, I have the throwback jam.
Yeah, you do.
And I have two. Because they go together. So, I was at like a store today and this song came on. It's by Lisa Stansfield and it goes, been around the world and I can't find my baby. I don't know and I don't know why. That song, you know that old ass song from the 80s? That yeah. Song, I don't know. I used to love that shit. I used to love that song. And I realized today that it is about the original ghosting motherfucker. Cause she is looking for her baby, but that's her man. Her man. If you listen to the words of that song, she had a fight with her man, and he walked out. And she's going to look for him, and he's nowhere to be found. Damn. The original ghoster.
The original ghoster.
So then, my second throwback jam is from 1999. And it is from Puff Daddy and the Family. Been around the world and I using the same fucking, like, sampling off of this song. We're also sampling Just Dance from David Bowie in this piece.
Just
and
you got, Dance.
So you got Diddy, you got Mace, you got Biggie all together in this song. And it's like the height, it's like the pinnacle of that sampling old hot songs that Diddy was just so known for as a producer in the 90s. It was just like pinnacle of that shit right there. So both of those songs, listen to them, rock to them, love them. I really like the original the most because like there's just something about wailing that song. I mean, I was literally in the store just saying, fuck it, it's on. Been around the world and na-na, just dancing in the aisles. Like, I don't give a fuck. This song is the shit. I haven't heard it in 90 years, and I am here for it right now. Just embarrassing Jordan up in the store.
That's the way to shop.
Yes. So that's the throwback jam. Go peep those songs.
Throwback jam. Find peep the original ghoster.
Aye aye aye.
So we're moving on to the signature segment. Giggle. Cackle, roar. I channeled you Britney the there.
You I the channeled, most today.
I channeled Britney today. That's where I'm at, apparently.
Wow.
I think it's because my giggle is like actually just me saying, look at God, we're so blessed, I'm so excited, I can't wait to eat this thing that I shouldn't be eating, but I'm about to eat like 5 bags of it anyway, because Starburst is releasing the limited edition all pink bags. So I'm going to preface this with, if you try to tell me any other color or any other flavor of the original Starburst flavor is better than the pink, you're loud and you're wrong, which are two things you should never be at the same time. You're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. And if you're sitting there looking at me, Brittany, because you like the red ones, mm-hmm. you're wrong. You're wrong. You're loud and you're wrong. So Starburst is giving the girls what they have been wanting, which is a bag of just all pink Starburst. I mean, I can't tell you how mad I get when I buy a thing of Starburst and they're all yellow and orange and I get two pinks. That's it? Are you kidding me? Take this back. It's trash. I'll throw it away. I'll set it on fire. I'll not buy Starburst for months and months and months and months and months until you give me a pack with more than two pinks. But now I can go and get me some Starburst and they're all pink. And that is all I could ever ask for. I feel blessed. My hair is growing. My face is moisturized. My credit is good. There's all pink Starburst bags. Amen.
Yuck. I'm sorry. I mean, I'm so happy for y'all pink Starburst lovers. I think pink Starburst are gross. I am team red all Wrong. Day, every Wrong. Day.
Wrong.
Wrong. I'm sorry. I mean, that's Wrong. Why they did red first, because Wrong. We are a very powerful Wrong. Faction of red Wrong. Lovers.
Wrong.
And pink is that strawberry kind of tasting kind of milky. It's just gross. I don't like it. But I'm happy for you, girl. Enjoy them.
I can't Please wait to be. Send. I can't wait to eat them and be right at the same time.
I'll go enjoy my red pack, and you and can enjoy being your pink wrong. Pack.
Red wrong.
I'm right.
See?
No. Red I'm not and wrong. Red wrong. No, red, I'm just,
wrong.
Just red and happy.
Red,
red is
stop.
The best.
Red,
red is the
no.
best flavor.
Red does
red
not
always
mean
been
go.
A good flavor.
Red,
no,
red is
red
no.
is red is great. Red
Y'all
is great.
Are about to hear us red. Fight over Starburst for like the next 3 hours.
They're the juiciest. The red ones are the juiciest. Like they
You're
get
wrong.
They get that flavor in your mouth. They're so good. You can like Janelli it with water and it's just delicious in your mouth. Like
loud.
No.
And wrong. Loud.
Okay, whatever.
And wrong.
All right, I'm gonna be loud as I want to be. It's all about the red.
No.
Okay, well, I have a giggle, too, because I'm not really mad about a lot of things right now to be cackling at it, or, and there's nothing, like, too great in the world right now for me to be roaring about. But my giggle is for this little show that I've been watching, and I usually don't, I haven't been liking shows with mainly white people in it. Like, that's just not, no, fuck it, no, I'm not gonna talk about that. I am going to cackle. Fuck it. I'm switching it up. I was going to talk about this show, Love, that I'm watching on Netflix that I think is really cute, even though I hate Judd Apatow, but I think this show is really cute. I'm going to pivot and talk about the last episode of Black-ish. Because they finally called out the American Girl dolls for only showing black people as slaves or civil rights activists. And that's it. It's only through our oppression that we get to be American. Yeah, America, you fucked us, but we are American in our greatness, too. So they called them out because they have the slave doll and they have the Addie that we all had. And then we have whatever the other one was that came out later on that's about the civil rights movement that they literally, in the Black-ish episode called Selma, they named her Selma, who marched on Selma. like lazy. Like, was it that lazy? The American Girl doll, is she that? Is it that lazy? Is it like? Is her name really Selma? So I would just cry. But thank you, Black-ish. Really, it's true. Representation matters in dolls as well as it matters in television, as it matters in literature, in movies. We need our Black girl stories, our truest Black girl stories shown. And it's not just through our struggles and pain. We are amazing. Show us those amazing Black girls that have been changing the world left and right. And there's this other company that I can't think of the name of right now, but we'll definitely share it on our social media, that's working to change the face of Black woman, of American womanhood, to a Black woman. So the world could stop thinking about the American woman as being the sun-kissed blonde girl frolicking on the beach, but be the Black woman that has been putting in the work and making this nation as great as it is right now.
What a concept.
So that's exciting. We will share what that actual company is. I just think I'm just about it. Like, let's make this campaign that, you know, Black women, you know, we created the earth, but like, yes, we're also very essential and goddamn America too. So let's talk about it. Well, we talk about it all the time, but let's talk about it some more. Not just on these awesome Black girl podcasts. Yeah. Like, let's have it be all over the goddamn place.
Everywhere. The whole world, since we created it all.
Yeah.
That's your giggle?
Cackle and a roar. It's all mixtured, all up in together.
Woo! So we did it.
Another episode.
Another done. Episode. Dunzo.
In the town.
You can find us on the internet, as always, on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at us at Black Girls Laughing, at BLK Girls Laughing with no G, on Facebook.com/Black Girls Laughing, on our website, blackgirlslaughing.com, email blackgirlslaughing@gmail.com. Please share this on iTunes, share this on SoundCloud. Leave us a review. I would really like to see a few more reviews. I would, you know, we're getting really consistent with this. And we're working behind the scenes to do a lot of work towards rebranding. And, like, I mean, we've been consistent. So, like, show us some love, y'all.
And I've been seeing y'all on SoundCloud, listening to 5 episodes, you know, getting caught up with our shit. And like, we really appreciate you. And this show is free. But if you just wanted to give us a little shout out, share us to a friend, you're really helping us out. That was like the way that you pay it forward for all the ear fun that we're giving you once a week.
Yes. So please share us out on more than SoundCloud. Share us on Facebook. Share us on Twitter. Share us through iTunes. It's really easy. Just a click of a button. You don't even have to type a cool message with it if you don't want to.
Yeah. And there's like something going on with some of the podcast folks called like #tripod. How about you steal that campaign from those people and do it for Black Girls Laughing and tell your friends to try us out as their new tripod.
Yes.
Yeah.
Please. All right. Thanks, guys.
We love you. Thank you for the kind words that you have been giving us, because we definitely appreciate that.
And we see like, you and we love it.
That's been like warming all parts of my cold Black heart. You've been, you know, it's been growing like a couple of centimeters because of y'all.
Look at what you're doing.
Making me all a right. Nice person and shit. Who knew? Who knew? All right. Bye.
Bye.